Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Friday, May 5th. It's the second day of the summit, and we're all still alive to tell about it. I was thinking, you know, 3 days in a row at like 4 o'clock in the morning waking up, I'm doing really good. I'm pulling it off. The summit was just a lot of information. I think it was like a big family sitting there because we all know each other before we saw each other. And it truly is one of the warmest feelings. We get to eat together, talk together, and then we talk some more together, and then it's over, and we're still talking. So we just keep on going and going and going. But it was just so great to see everybody and get to share this time and information with everybody. So thank you for those who came and for everyone who couldn't make it. We are filming it. Eliana's doing a great job putting it down on film, and we will put that together, and we'll be able to share that with everybody. So it'll be great to see you soon. And I have to say, I got one long question, and it's actually many good questions put into one. And there was still this person, I guess, was my friend on Facebook and unfriended me a while ago, unfriended a few people. And I was one of them, so she apologized for unfriending me, but also said, I hope this question gets to you. And I have Jules in the chat. Good morning, Jules 33. We're just going on. Francis can't make it to chat this morning, probably Liam too. It's a little too early for them. They're in Southern California now. So let me go on with these questions because she has quite a few of them, and I want to make sure that she gets them answered. So the first one is, I have a relationship with one person, and no matter how many times he comes back into my life, we don't find a way to be together. I can't let him go, and I'm so attached that my life doesn't seem to have purpose without him. I like that person so much that I don't think I can find anyone like him. He is now, was, too big person in my life, and I can't move on. How can I make it smaller and stop seeing his greatness and start accepting other people also, not just him? Why is this happening to me, and how do I find out why we met in our life, and why is he so big to me, but I am not as important? How to let go and move on, or find a way to be far away by not letting go? How can I make myself fall in love with someone else? Is it a problem because we are not meant to be together and I can't let go? I wish it would be two of him so I could keep one of him for myself. Is this egotistic or selfish or possessive or not? Is it love or something else? That's a lot of questions for one paragraph. You're saying now, how can I find answers? I've been going on for 9 years, and I can't go on further wanting to be with someone who I can't have near me and with me in my life. So my biggest question is, why do you feel all of this for almost a decade of your life, and why is it that he's not there? Does he not want to be there is my biggest question. So all of these questions, sometimes when we can't have someone that we want, we tend to hyper-focus on them for two reasons. One of those reasons is that you don't want to face yourself, so you put all your energy into somebody else and say it's all because of them and you need them, but you really need yourself first. Because what's happening is you are using somebody else's identity, somebody else's life, to live your own. And it's really hard to face your own life, so now it's somebody you can't get. And you know you can't get him, obviously. It's been 9 years. But you now say you can't live without him, but I have to tell you, you aren't living with him either. You're like in this in-between place in your mind, that this person is someone you're so hyper-focused on, but at the same time, You are living without him already. But you don't want to face you, so all your energy goes into him. And you feel like it's love, but you can only love him as much as you love yourself. It's literally impossible to love him more than you love yourself. Because if you love him more than you love you, and you melt into him, then what you're saying is, that part that I can only love him up to where I love myself, all the rest of that is a neediness, is using him as an excuse to live your life and say, oh, but I can't have him. And part of it, believe it or not, may also be on a big scale, a very big fear of intimacy. When we attach to attached people or people who can't be in our lives, and we know they can't be in our lives, we pretend we're trying. We're giving it a good shot. We love this person. We can't live without this person. But 10 years ago, you didn't even know him. And you lived, and you were fine, and you made it. And now, because you met him 9 years ago, and maybe in the beginning it wasn't this intense, or maybe it was and you guys broke up, I don't know what your circumstances are in this scenario. However, I don't want to see you use somebody else to defer your own life. Someone's meant to be in your life. They're going to be in your life whether you want to put them there or not. And you're going to learn from them, and you're going to grow with them. And this person is like holding up a mirror and saying, please pay attention to yourself. I'm paying attention to me. I'm doing what's best for me. And you need to do that for you. Otherwise, you truly aren't going to be any good to him if you had him, because it's like a worship type feeling where you worship something, and when people worship somebody or something, they learn to live with it in their mind, but they don't actually have it in a physicality. And that's what this sounds like. It's not egotistical or selfish or possessive. It's almost like there's a worshiping going on, that you can't live without this person. You need to have this person in your life. Some people feel that way about God. This is a very tricky place you're in, because nobody has that much power over another human being unless you give them that power. And he didn't ask for it, but you gave it to him. You are continuing to give it to him. So pay attention to where you're putting your energy, because he may be like a big, very real feeling excuse that you are saying that this person is in control of your entire mental well-being. Imagine how much power you gave someone you don't even get to have. For whatever reason, him being away from you is teaching you that. If he were with you, you would just melt right into him, because you're using him as almost, you know, an IV that you stick in your arm that you have in the hospital. When you have an IV in there to stay alive until you can be on your own, you're almost, you've plugged him into your system. And that plugging in has now put all your attention on him and not on you. Think about that one. Because you have another question, and let me start reading that one. And the other question is, are there so-called energy vampire people who drain other people and use their energy? Well, I'm not even going to go any further for a minute. Are you needing that man's energy to live? Ask yourself the definition of what an energy vampire is. Because are you using him to live? And letting that zap your energy, even though he's not an energy vampire, but you're allowing his existence to use your energy, even though he doesn't need it. But now we're back on just regular old energy vampires. Several times people near me keep saying that I am someone who is. Okay, what really happens? And is it a true how to see it and stop it? because if it will continue, I will lose all my friends and people will run away. Sometimes I look into the mirror, into my eyes, and I don't like what I see. Eyes are the mirror of the soul. How do I change it in a way so that I would look into my soul and see only beauty and no ugliness? Does it take a long time in our lives to fix it? So what's happening here is you answered it in the first paragraph when you first described what you're doing with this person, how much pressure you put on yourself and on this person to be who you are. He's not you and you're not him. But to say that you are no one without this person is saying that you are no one, period, whether it's this person or not. So pay attention to why and what you are saying. You can't bleed into other people's identity and have them feel comfortable with it. Obviously, it's a very uncomfortable feeling. If somebody came to me and said, I can't survive without you, they would scare me to death. Why? Because now I feel responsible if anything happens that that person is not going to be able to be okay if I don't exist. Because what you're doing is you're creating a dependent relationship, and people need independence to be who they are. So you're getting them from an angle that's really heavy, and it's a big hit, and it demands a lot. Because let's say once you get this person, what do you do with them? What do you do with them? How do you own them? What does that relationship look like on a daily basis? But if people are telling you you're an energy vampire, all that means is that when you come in, you want to use their energy to live. And you actually defined it in how you feel about this person. Read that first paragraph over and over again. That paragraph defines what people are trying to tell you is happening. You can be people's friends without owning their identity or borrowing their identity. So when you look in the mirror and you don't even know what you're seeing, it's because you don't know who you are without borrowing somebody else's identity. So all of these people that you need to attach to feel like you are who you are, what you need to do with that is to walk away, step away from that, still be their friend. But you have to learn from them how they maintain their identity so that you can have your own. It starts with self-love, because if you look at yourself and you see ugly instead of beauty, you're going to be the same person when you look in that mirror and see beauty. Nothing's really going to change physically. But what changes mentally is what's going to give that to you. Self-love is missing, but it's not far away from you either. You just think it is. So you try to take other people's love and borrow it because you don't have your own. And you feel like if they can love you, then maybe you can love you, but that's not going to help you because the minute they leave, you're empty again. And I can see where it would be hard for someone to stay because you're using them as life support. It is not love. That is not love. That's total and complete in a full strong neediness of having to use people to feel what you need to feel. And what I would recommend, if you have an adult or somebody you can talk to about how and why you do this, because they'll see you every day, and every day learn to do something for yourself, by yourself, so that you can start to build an identity of self. Whether you read a book or go for a walk or listen to music. And when I say listen to music, I mean listen to music that has a positive feeling, a positive beat, a feeling like you can do things that lifts you. Because there's some music where they're constantly talking about, you know, stuff that hurts you or it's negative stuff. And they make it sound good behind the beat, but be real careful about the words in the music that you listen to. but your sense of self is what's going on. It's not even like a lack of self-love. It's just building a sense of self so you have a self to love. And now you have one last question here. And the last question is, and also last question is, do we really come from the same place? My friend told me that he is from somewhere else, and he goes to the other side when he's too tired from this life. He's from heaven, that's how I see it. Angel that lives on earth seeing heaven all the time, and I see him more angel than human. And I can't let go of him. Most of the time I feel sad because I want to know for sure that I can from the same place he comes from, so I would know and be happy to feel that I am like him. And I would be able to feel and be good and strong like him, like he is. Now I doubt, and I feel I looked down on and blind. I am so destruction without wanting it, and want to leave this life because I can't be someone who does and sees things correctly as they are. If there is nothing that can be said about this, can I find these answers while being alive, or can they come from beyond? We all come from someplace else, every single one of us. There isn't anybody that's not from home. The only way we can come here is through another human. It's a big plan. We don't come here to stay here. Again, you're attaching to somebody else's energy, and you feel like when they're not here, you're not alive. Doesn't mean you want to die. It means that you just don't feel alive. He might be an angel, but you have your own set of angels. You have your own sense of self. You are also special in the respect of your own talents and your own gifts. Nobody is more special than you. Even if he closes his eyes and goes to the other side, what difference does that make to you? Wherever it is he goes, whenever he gets tired from this life, because we all get tired from this life at some point. We all want to go somewhere else at some point. And a lot of times when we go to sleep, then we're going somewhere else. And we come back. All these things that we put this big mystery around, it makes us feel like, well, there's so much I don't know and I'm all alone, and what will I do without this person and what will I do without that person? The bigger question is, what will you do without you? Who are you if nobody else you knew knows you? And answer that question every day. If everyone I knew didn't know me, who would I still be? Taking away from yourself over and over and over again isn't fair. It's like you're your own bully. You're bullying yourself. Well, you're not okay unless you have him. You're not okay unless you have this guy. You're not okay unless you're, you know, attached to somebody, whether it's your friends, somebody you want to be in a relationship with, or somebody else who's a closer friend, and you idolize people and you take yourself further down the pike. Well, look how special they are, but I'm not special. So if you were to meet someone like you, where someone comes to you and says, can I kind of borrow your existence? Can I kind of live through you for a while? How would you feel? That's a question for you to answer. We all go to another place. We all get tired while we're here. You're tired being here because you're wearing yourself out trying to use other people to be here. And you've got your own job to do. You came here to create a sense of self for yourself. And it looks like that's the reoccurring theme in your life. I don't remember where you live, but I know that there is a time for you that you should take every single day, at least an hour, while you're just by yourself, even if you're uncomfortable. And I don't mean by yourself doing your old routine. I want you to walk. I want you to think about things, write about things, talk about who you are, what do you like, what don't you like to yourself. build that sense of self in you so that you want to hang around with you and not just everybody else. Otherwise, you don't exist. And if there's somebody you can talk to who's older than you, who can see that perspective better than you, and maybe they can help walk you through when you start wanting to attach to people. And be really careful that they're not a friend, but somebody that you can talk to about this with so that you don't attach to them the way you would to your friends or other people you think that you would need as a life support. I know that's a lot to take in. If I were you, I would listen to this show a couple of times so that you could even hear your questions and then hear the answer, and then maybe one time just focus on your questions and then the next time focus just on the answers. Because your sense of self is getting, it's like you're allowing life to hijack it. You're saying, hey, life, I don't feel like doing you. I'm a little tired now, so look, I'm going to jump on this person. Oh, that person doesn't want me to jump on them, and oh, I can't live without them, but somehow I'm still alive. So, oh, wait, let me jump on this person. There's nobody better than you. There's nobody worse than you. They're here to do their job. You're here to do your job. So pay attention and do your job. I hope that helps. If you have any other questions, you can write me back and we'll go from there. Thank you. And I also have another question. It's in the chat. It is from Jules33, and she says, good morning. Hi, Nadia. Can I please ask about forgiveness and letting go? How do I know when I've completely let go and forgiven people and situations? I want to move forward to a new beginning without dragging my past with me. I've written release, forgiveness letters, prayed, done meditations, etc. Every so often I get triggered. That's a hard one, and it's an easy one. The fact that you want to let go, the fact that you are tired of all the things you've tried, is you just have to sit and really know that you can live with your decision to let this go. And then every time you think about it, you have to say, hey, wait a minute, I let this go. I don't need this anymore. I needed it before, but I don't need it anymore. Sometimes when we get down with ourselves, we start looking at everything we believe is unfinished. And for some reason, you're not finished here. You didn't completely allow yourself to let it go. Either you needed closure with that person or with that situation, or you needed closure with yourself that, you know what, that really made me feel vulnerable. I didn't like it, but I'm really proud of myself that I faced it and I have forgiven that person or that situation. A lot of times, if you haven't gone on to a successful situation that was similar to that yet, that's the last one you've had like that, so you kind of hold on to it. But you got to know that sometimes the habit of holding on to something is bigger than what actually happened. It's like people have a problem and then they solve that problem and then they're like, oh, my problem slot is empty. So they create another problem and they stick it right in the slot. But in truth, it's the habit of hanging on to just having a problem. So if it gets triggered, you have to say to yourself, hey, you know what, Jules? I already prayed on that. I already meditated on that. Maybe there's some residue left, but it'll go away in time. And talk to it like, hey, I get this. I know what's going on with me. I'm okay with it. Forgiveness is something that we come to in a day, but we have to be careful with how we forgive. Because people say, oh, I forgive, but I never forget. Even though we say forgive and forget. But it's really hard to forget because there's a lesson there. And maybe you need to keep revisiting it because your lesson from that has not been solved or even discovered yet. Or maybe even discovered in the depth that it is. So it keeps sticking around saying, wait, you're not done with me yet. You're not done with me yet. Take another look. And then when you take another look and then you say, hey, oh my God, I did not realize that part of letting go means to really let go. I'm letting go thinking I'm taking the higher road because that makes me feel good, but did I really let go? And if I didn't, why is it still hanging around? That big why is it still hanging around is why it's still there. So if something triggers it, that means that there's still some residue, some pain, some, I don't want to say anger, but more resentment that you've tried all these things and you could not get rid of it. You could not control this. You could not make it go away when you wanted it to go away by saying, well, I forgave that person. And then maybe you really didn't get there yet. Because that's telling you you aren't there. And you're right, it's about my ex-husband and it was a 30-year marriage. Well, you're not going to get rid of that easily. But in your heart, go back and remember how you met this person. And love that part of the relationship. And then I need you to understand your own role in the marriage. Because if you guys left each other at 30 years, it had to do with both of you, not just with him. And part of the forgiveness is also to forgive yourself, not just him, but you too. Okay, this didn't work out, but you know what? It did work out. It worked out for 30 years. And probably you both learned all you can from each other, or you'd both still be there. There are no mistakes. Instead of feeling great about a 30-year marriage, which we're not taught to do, I know it's different. I know that everything changes. I know that maybe your place where you live changes, your furniture changes, you change, everything changes. It's almost too much change at one time, even if it's something you both wanted or one of you wanted. But there's something Christ told me, and he told me that if a relationship isn't right for one person, it's not right for both. So if he's gone, you needed that as much as he needed that. Sometimes we don't want to hear that. Ask yourself, what am I forgiving him for? For leaving me? Am I forgiving us for letting it get that far? Am I forgiving myself for maybe not paying attention to things sooner? Or him not paying attention to things sooner? And after a 30-year marriage, you're going to have a lot of triggers. You don't be scared of a trigger. But what you can learn from that is that if you know what your triggers are, list them in your head. Oh, when someone talks about my husband, I start to feel sad. When I remember being at this place or that place, I feel sad. Give yourself permission to feel sad. You're a human being. I go to that place, I'm going to end up thinking of him. I already know that's going to happen. So when I think of him, I am going to remember something good about him instead of something that angers me. Because you both got to the point of disillusion together. It wasn't just you, and it wasn't just him. It was a combination of the two of you. And it may have been just as simple of you to just growing apart. It just may have been that simple. But then that's hard to admit. So what do you both do? Then we start blaming each other for little things, and we start creating a case that builds our case so that once we break up, we have a very good reason why we broke up. But the breakup happens long before the symptoms show up in the relationship. It's a very interesting but crazy thing to look at when you've had 30 years of information to deal with. I hope that helped you, Jules. If you have any other questions, please let me know. We're almost done for today. It always goes by so quickly, and we have like 14 seconds, so I can wish you a great weekend. See you on Monday, and hopefully today we'll post some pictures from the summit. Bye-bye. I love you.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.
That was great, Nadia. Let's get your hands. Stay right there.